Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We are hitting the midpoint for some states. Some are actually past that. I know Alaska will be having its state championship in October. But wherever you are, regardless, Fridays have always been a chance for us to put a podcast out there to allow you to reflect on what's going on during your season. And today I want to share some ideas. The ideas, I think, really come out of an article that I read by Rob Pomazak, who's the head coach at St. Charles North. They were the runner-ups in Illinois last year, and Rob has done an incredible job there. And I really like the way he thinks about how culture really fits into everything they're doing and looks at how he can actually use that to execute. And I think too many times, we've talked about this on the podcast with Brian Kipe, too many times we sit back and put all of that together and then stumble through or struggle through the execution and that really being a streamlined process from our culture all the way through game day, and that everything within there fits together. And it's something that Rob has taken a lot of time to think about, and it's caused me to reflect on some of the things I've been hearing on the podcast I've been listening to with Urban Meyer and Tim Kite, and just a lot of things too, I think, that come out of Urban's book, Above the Line. And what Rob really talks about in this article that he sent over to us is that we're trying to create the perfect model for what maximizes learning, connecting with our players, and yielding the results we need to see on the field. And the idea really is that we need to get everything aligned. It's our culture, it's our coaches, it's the behaviors we want from our players, and doing it in a way that, you know, we're having fun along the way and we're learning, that this experience isn't just about getting that W, but it's about really growing as individuals and then as the collective. And you look at how the game has changed, and it's really been something that was that command and control and the idea that, you know, the coach was always right, just listen to the coach. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but we've put a premium on the relationships, which I think is great and I think is something that's lasting. That's what our players are going to remember as coaches, the relationships with our players, with our coaches in our program, even with the parents. Those things are what we're going to remember and take away from this more than the wins and losses. And really, all of this comes down to the execution of it and how we train our players. I remember listening to the podcast with Urban Meyer, and his objective was to make sure that they had the best trained players on the planet, that they were ready for everything. And they put together a practice. If you would go to their practices, and I had been to a few, you would see exactly that in their practices, that they were very intentional about these are the things we believe, these are the behaviors that we need, and here's how we do it in practice. And I think that's the biggest thing, is we can't have this disconnect between what we've put together as our culture, what we spent all offseason long working on, and then go out to practice and not get those exact things. Because ultimately, when you think about the behaviors in football, it's those things that are going to help you win in those critical situations on Friday night. Those behaviors, both with the mindset and the skill set, are going to be what puts your team in the win column, what makes your team successful. And I've heard Urban say it on his podcast. I believe he said it in his book, and it comes from the Navy SEALs, that under pressure, you don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your training. So when you think about it, it's practice. Rob Pomazak makes the point, how you approach practice will determine how you respond to that 2 or 3 minutes in a game that really count. Now's a good point to plug some of the other podcasts we're doing. If you listen to The Edge, that is done with Rob Everett, former AAF coach, college coordinator, and high school state champion. We talk about little things that are going to make a difference for our players and really focusing on some of those things that matter to make sure that we get those into our practice. So it's not necessarily the culture-based stuff, but it's these are the things we have to work on this week and have the right behaviors for. These are the things that are really going to make a difference and count. And then Andy Ryland and I talk about deliberate practice on every Thursday. And the idea behind deliberate practice is that we're really focused on creating the situations that are going to happen on game day, that our players are just not trained in drills that put them in isolation, that take out decision making, that take out some of the chaos or distraction of a drill, that we try to put together some practice periods, especially as we get into season, that really reflect some of those key critical moments or key things that they need to do within their position on game day. So I encourage you to listen to both of those. And then, of course, The Leadership Journey does talk all about culture with Brian Kite. I've really been enjoying doing that podcast with him. And then Wednesdays, we call Trends Day. So just some developing trends. And, you know, it's hard to implement new schemes during the season, but I think there's some things, there's some nuggets you could take out of those, either things that you might have to defend as other people put some things in that they're seeing, as well as some adjustments you might be able to make to your scheme. So getting back to Rob's article and thinking about our role as the head coach or the coordinator or the assistant coach within the periods we are responsible for. Obviously, the head coach, it's the whole thing. Coordinators have their segments where it's the team part and they have to help their coaches put together the position group segments. And obviously, the position group's guys in charge of everything that happens in their period. So the ideology has to go out onto the practice field. And you want to create practice experiences that support the behaviors and beliefs that you want to develop in your players. And you have to look at every day as an opportunity to do that. And think about how do you weave those into those drills? Because it's not as simple as, well, we're just going to go out and do this tackling circuit, right? Think about some of the specifics you need from it. We don't want guys going through like robots and doing quote unquote everyday drills and missing out on those opportunities to really enforce what we need from those behaviors that are happening that we're practicing within those drills. So the key is this, and Rob outlines it. It's keeping the foundation consistent where you're able to show your players how your value system is applicable to all aspects of training and see how their contribution to upholding the culture will positively affect the team's practice and ultimately affect the team on game day, that the outcome can be expected if we execute properly. So think about that. A lot of it really goes to your evaluation. I love filming practice. I think if there's a way that you can film some things, even if it's having, you know, one of your injured players or a team manager come over there and film with your phone, to try to get some things on practice that you can evaluate. So maybe it's a drill that you're working in, some things you need to work that are new that week that, again, at some point you can spend 5 or 10 minutes with your guys showing them this is what we need to do right. So this is what we're going to adjust in the next practice. Okay, it's all about that execution. The evaluation and feedback is such an important part of that. And obviously the culture folding into it, the way we go about doing the job and the standard of excellence that we place on it. The next thing Rob focused on, and this is something Urban Meyer talks about quite a bit. I've heard him talk about it, obviously, in his book, but recently on the podcast, is that what he did with his coaches was very important, that they ceased to be called assistant coaches and they became unit leaders. And I think that idea is transformational, right? We need leadership. We need those guys to be the leaders, especially the coaches. A lot starts with them and their individual groups. Urban talks about it as 9 units strong. So those guys can help build the culture that you need by, again, reinforcing those beliefs and holding your players to a higher standard, holding them to standards of execution as well as standards of behavior. Again, the two things, and this was pointed out by Urban and Tim Kite, it's about the mindset and the skill set. So going back to Rob and what he does at St. Charles North, the way he thinks about it is that he's going to have an overall belief, behavior, and outcome in each of his practices. So for example, Tuesdays for them, the belief is tempo Tuesday. They're going to use tempo and it's going to be the big focus of practice. The behavior, he calls it all gas, no breaks. He wants those guys giving top effort, and the outcome they believe they're going to get is that their tempo will exhaust and confuse teams, giving them a significant competitive edge. So the practice is built around those three things. The belief, again, tempo Tuesday, behavior, all gas, no breaks, outcome, exhaust and confuse the opposing team to give them a competitive edge. So they set standards for that, right? They tell the players, this is exactly how it's going to look. So when we say tempo, These are the things we expect from you. And when you think about that, you know, Rob doesn't go into the details, but what does it mean to run at tempo for your team? What things are you specifically asking them to do? What helps the team move along, right? Is it a certain expectation of what you do with the football, as an example, right? Get up and give the ball to the official so it can get spotted. Something as little as that becomes part of your culture and part of how you do things, right? Instead of just in practice, well, it's practice, there's no official, I'm just going to flip the ball on the ground, or I'm going to lazily throw it back to whoever might be on the defense that could spot it for me. Have somebody serve that role. Create those standards, create those situations, again, that make it game-like. It's all really about the behavior that gets out onto the field. We can't just leave it on the culture on the sidelines or the culture in our locker room or team room or meeting room. Those things have to live and breathe out on the field. So standards are set, and Rob includes a graphic in there that outlines that for his players. Imagine it's in their position manuals or team manuals, and he talks about those Tuesdays, that they're going to have energy and excitement, right? That's part of the deal, and they're going to do it by sprinting to stations. They're going to do it by playing fast within practice, and the coaches focused on those tempo Tuesdays, critiquing effort and energy first, right? Again, it's the focus. So everybody's sprinting everywhere. Coaches are critiquing that, reinforcing it, giving feedback, etc. That's the focus of that day. And in the article, Rob gives an outline of the whole week and what it looks like for them. Again, not saying this is the right or wrong way to do it, but what he does here, I think, is important, is he really defines exactly what's going into it, and he's very intentional about the things that they're working on. So Mondays for them is build the base day, right? They're going to focus on things on Mondays that is the foundation for them. It's the installs, indie, non-negotiable team skills, but they're going to put it through in a non-sprint type of tempo, which means for them, it's a lot of walkthrough. It's a teach tempo, right? They're allowed to slow things down. And he also defines what that looks like in terms of contact. And so he colors his contact, red contact, meaning that is it is not a full contact. They're really pulling back, right? Fit things up, thud, those kinds of things. They focus more on small group and individual learning, and only a portion of the practice used for team. And it's a 90-minute day. Tuesdays, they go to a 120-minute day. As I mentioned before, for them, it's tempo for them. Pace tempo, meaning that they have specific tempos. They're intentional about what they do. They're certainly going to be using all that energy and effort, as we mentioned before. They begin to build on that base, the base installs from Monday, test some of those concepts under increased small group and team segments, and expose their offense, defense, and special teams to some of the toughest issues that they face first. They don't want to wait till Friday night to see what they're going to struggle with. They want to try to flesh those things out in practice. So for them, it's a sprint day as far as the tempo and the pace. Wednesdays then focuses on some of the situations, third down, red zone, goal line, a little bit more with the team periods, right? They're going to go at what he calls ludicrous speed. I like that. It means they're going as fast as they can. They want a game day feel to all of the team segments that they use. They're going to pull back on the contact again on that particular day. And it's a 60 to 80 minute practice, right? They're in uppers, they're in girdles. They limit practice contact, and they watch film and create a Thursday correction period as coaches. So they're going to evaluate that practice. Thursday's then a non-sprint day, kind of pace tempo. So some things are going to go really fast. Some things will slow down. It's more of the corrections practice. And it's not really like that typical walkthrough. Thursdays are in full pads and the effort per play is fast, but they have a limit on those total reps. So it's 25 reps on O, 25 reps on D, transition periods all on air. And they make the point that no player receives more than 15 reps on each side of the ball. And I think this is very good. I don't know how much reflection Rob has put into what the Fast Friday looks like for college, but I think that's what Kurt Hester talked about, is those limitations to the number of reps. And I think 15 is in line with, I think Kurt said 12, but I think 15 puts you in a spot where that guy is not overtaxed on what he's doing on a Thursday, that he could go out there, go fast for 15 reps and get off the field. The last point that Rob makes, and I think is very important, this is all about the feedback, right? So it's evaluation, modification, and remediation. At the end of the day, the decision on how you structure practice is entirely up to you. You're going to have the ability to carry your beliefs, behaviors, and training onto the practice field, and it's imperative to the success of your team that you do that. You can't be afraid to try something new and allow yourself the luxury of failing in practice so that you can win on Friday night. Each week is separate from the last, so Rob and his staff constantly ask themselves, where are we, where are we going, and how do we need to get there? And, you know, I love the ideas he shared there. Certainly a lot of tie-in to what we talk about with Brian Kite. Specifically, Brian always talks about those things, culture being the beliefs, the behaviors, which create the outcome or the results. And that's what we need to drive as coaches. So again, you know, take that opportunity to reflect back on your week. I don't think anything we talk about here on these in-season podcasts is something that has to put on the back burner. We're talking about things that can be micro changes, not macro, not disrupt your team, but enhance what you're doing out there. So if you have any questions or comments for any of the podcasts we're doing, you can find me on Twitter at Coach K Grabowski and follow our Twitter handle for football coaches at FBDEV Coach. Again, all of our podcasts in season, we try to make them a little bit shorter. I think I go a little bit longer with Brian. We always say we're going to keep it at 30, but he and I tend to go a little bit longer. We want these to be easily digested for you and some things that you can take away. So please keep tuning in and let us know if there's things that you need. And check out our systems for contact, blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling. It's at footballdevelopment.com. There's some great drills in there that kind of fall in line with what we're talking about and being intentional in practice and specifically working on things that are going to make your player better.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.